see everybody here this evening. I know I always say that. I know I always say it's good to see everybody. It's not just out of habit, but because it's good to see everybody. When it ceases to be good to see everybody, I will stop saying that. But it really is wonderful to be able to get together and join together with our brothers and sisters in Christ in worship. It's a privilege that we have as well as an obligation, and so we're very blessed to have our obligations match our privileges. Let me ask to begin tonight, what is it that defines you? Because a lot of times we kind of take our identity from different areas. Some are just who we are, what our gender is, what our race is, what our age is. And that's kind of sad when we would define ourselves in that way. Now, a lot of people will do that. We do that naturally, just driving through a place or seeing a group of people. We'll identify them by those characteristics very often. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But if we get our identity from that, there's probably something of a problem. Maybe your identity is a little bit elevated from that, and your identity is mainly taken from what you do. He's a farmer, he's a rancher. She's a doctor, she's a nurse, she's a school teacher, whatever it is. And we may take our identity from our occupation or our profession, what we do for 8 to 12 to 14 hours a day, whatever that is. And again, that's a little bit better than just taking our identity from the color of our hair, whatever it is. But it's still not much of an identity when you think about it. Maybe it's a little bit more elevated than that, and we identify ourselves or take our identity, what defines us as being a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or a parent. And again, that's a little more noble than the other, but it's still, I don't believe, the way that God wants us to define ourselves. I'm convinced by looking at Scripture that God wants us to identify ourselves as Christians. And that means as servants. And sometimes we don't want to take our identity as a servant or as belonging to someone else. But if this is not the main thing that defines us, then we have work to do. And we all have work to do, do we not, from time to time? Have you ever thought about this? Why is it that if you have coffee, it's called coffee? And if you have water, it's called water. But if you put coffee in water, it's called coffee. It's not called coffee water. And of course, the answer is because it's the coffee that will give it its characteristics. The flavor, the aroma will come from the coffee. And so it becomes the coffee, what you put into the water, that defines the water from that point on. Now it's not water anymore, now it's coffee. When we talk about becoming Christians, when we talk about being placed into Christ, that really should be our identity. Now we're Christians. We're servants of God. And as far as that goes, we may be a Christian who happens to farm or who happens to ranch, who happens to be a father or a mother or whatever it is. We certainly still have our personality, and we have different things that all go in together to make us who we are. But if the main thing that defines us is not Christ and not our service to He and to God, then again, that's something that we really need to be thinking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 is a passage we looked at earlier. I want to look at it from a little bit different perspective than we've been looking at the last couple of weeks. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Well, so just we need to ask ourselves, we need to look, are we in the faith? Or is our faith just something that we talk about? Our faith maybe just, it's kind of like going to church instead of going to worship with the church because we're Christians. There's a difference between the two of those things. And I realize in our modern day vernacular, sometimes we will say that we're doing that, and that's what we mean. We're going to worship with the church. And I'm not condemning people for doing that, but there is a difference, is there not? This is something that we really do need to stop and think about. The Apostle Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and therefore God, wants us to examine ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. Are we a Christian? Are we living as a Christian? In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5, again, this is a passage we've looked at several times lately, but I just kind of want to make a different distinction on this passage as we introduce this. In chapter 19 and verse 1 of Acts, it says, "It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we hadn't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what then were you baptized?' They said, 'Into John's baptism.' And Paul said, 'John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who is to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.'" And so here we see a group of people, a group of several disciples that have not yet been added to Christ. They've not been baptized in the name of Christ. And so when they examined themselves to see whether or not they were in the faith, they found out that they weren't in the faith, and so they did something about it. And that's essentially what the call for us is to do as well, is to make sure that we are in the faith and to make sure that we are, once we are in the faith, that we're living that way and that it's something that God recognizes within us. A couple more passages that by way of introduction, Romans 6, verse 3, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" When we became Christians, we were placed into Christ. We were baptized into his death. But as Christians, we were placed in Christ, and Christ in us. Remember the first verse we looked at. "Don't you know that Christ dwells within you unless, of course, you fail the test?" Well, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God." When we talk about becoming a Christian, not only do we have the Spirit of the Holy Spirit within us, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, but also we are now in Christ and we're now in God. And so it's a mutual thing there. And again, we need to make sure what that means and make sure that we're doing it well. And then finally, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, again, telling us how to get into Christ. "All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." And now I'd like you to just think about for a moment what it means to clothe yourself with Christ. We see that happened when we were baptized into Christ, but what does that mean? And just kind of think of it like a uniform. If I went to a basketball game the other night and I saw some young ladies out there that were in a uniform all alike, and it said "Happy" on the back of their shirt. And so I knew by what they were clothed in that they were basketball players, and not just basketball players just of a generic sort, but they played for Happy. They represented Happy. When I go and announce the football games, I typically notice two different uniforms. One, and I can tell the two teams apart. The young men that have Happy on the back of their shirt belong to that team, and the ones that have another name on the back of their shirt belong to the other. It's important that they are committed to the team that their uniform represents, that they're clothed in, because the other side's going to hit them once they put that uniform on. It's important for you and I as Christians to understand that once we are identified with Christ, once we are clothed with Christ, that the ruler of this world, Satan, is going to be attacking us. He's going to be hitting us. And unless we're serious about that identity, about our being servants of God in Christ first and foremost, then we're going to have kind of a rough time. Same thing with the uniform. If you see people in war, one's in a uniform of the United States Army and the other is in a uniform of whoever happens to be an enemy at that time, let's say World War II, and they're in a Japanese uniform, then you know not only is the other side opposed to you, but you also know that the other side will very likely be doing their best to kill you. Again, when we clothe ourselves in certain things, in certain uniforms, it becomes more and more serious, so we better be committed. When we became Christians, we clothed ourselves with Christ, and that means we better be committed, because the evil one and his followers are going to be opposed to us. What was it? Jesus said, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." Sometimes we do everything we can to get along with everybody so we don't offend anybody. And by doing so, we never set our identity as Christians. We're not to be unnecessarily offensive. But Christianity will offend some people. If you take stands against certain types of sin, that means certain types of sinners are going to be mad at you because so many people identify themselves as a sinner. And they're getting more and more bold about that as the days go by. But again, this idea of those who are baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ is critical to our understanding of what our identity is. We are now a servant of Christ. In John chapter 15 and verse 4, this is a passage that Dave alluded to in our Bible class this morning. Your version may say to abide in me. The version I'm using says remain in me, but look at how many times Christ tells his apostles to remain in him. It's not enough just to be in Christ, but we have to remain in Christ. In John chapter 15, verse 4, he says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Christ is very serious about our being identified with him and our understanding that means we're a servant of his. In John chapter 15 and verse 6, he says this, "If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers." I've got a bunch of trees that I just cut down. They're pesky trees. And so I cut them all down. And then when I got through cutting them down, I poisoned them to the best of my ability. And I've cut them down before and they've come back. So that's the reason I poisoned them this time. I'm hoping that they all wither and die from the stump on down. But even if they don't, the branches that I took off will wither and die because they're no longer connected to the plant, to the tree, to the roots. And that's what Jesus said. If you don't remain in me, you'll be like a branch that's thrown away and withers. As Christians, that means we have to be Christians full time, or otherwise we'll wither and we'll die. And then he explains what happens in that case. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now that's clearly an allusion to an eternal punishment, or an allusion to an eternal punishment. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is one of the reasons why it is so important for us to be reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons that we try and emphasize that and encourage people with whatever method that you find the best. But you need to find something that will allow you to have the most, the greatest effectiveness in being able to read the Word of God and to study the Word of God. Because the Word of Christ, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." Christ will take care of us if his word is within us. But how can we say his word is within us if we're not even reading it? And if we are just reading it, how can we say his word is in us if we don't understand it? And that's why we do our best to study. John chapter 15 now in verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Part of being in Christ and part of our identity as Christians means that we abide with him, that we remain with him, and that means that we have his commands and that we keep them. It's, I think, simple to understand, but it's not always easy to do because we're so distracted by there are just so many things that are pressing on us. They're immediate. They may not amount to a hill of beans in the long run, but boy, are they immediate. Your boss telling you, you need to get this done. Your child telling you he is starving. It's been, 2.5 hours since the last meal and he may not make it. There's a lot of immediate things that we do take care of, but Christ has to come first if we're going to remain in him. So the question now becomes, are we passing the test? Remember what the test was. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test. How are we doing on that test? Are we really part of Christ, or is it just kind of lip service? Now, this is the next part. If you do say that you belong to Christ, that Christ is in you, then what firm plans do you have for service? When I first tried to go back and get my master's degree, I can't really tell you why I wanted a master's degree. At the time, I think I thought it might help me in business or whatever, and so I went back to get my MBA, and I hated it with a passion. And I went and I took these courses, and I was working full-time. I had, at that time, Carolyn and I had two children, and by definition, I also had a wife, or should be by definition, I had a wife. And so I had a lot going on, and I was doing something, but I didn't really know why I was doing it. You know how many people are coming to worship every week, and they just have to kind of beat themselves to go? It's like they're a naughty little child that has to be gotten up by their parents. Why is that? And I believe the reason is because they're not sold on it. I can tell you for a number of years I wasn't sold on it. When I finally got to go to college and I was my own man, I became my own man. And quite frankly, being my own man as opposed to being a servant of Christ really paled by comparison. And because of that, then when I didn't want to get up and go to worship, I didn't get up and go to worship. And I just kind of faltered and just kind of withered in a lot of different areas, as Christ warned would happen if we become separated from Him. Are we serious about it? Do we know why we're serious? Do we have some kind of a plan about that? When I was going back for my MBA, I did not. Took two or three passes at it. Hated it each time, hated everything about it. Finally gave up on it, went back a few years later, and I started a master's degree in economics and finance, and I loved it. I cannot tell you why other than the fact that it was something that was interesting to me. What puts most people to sleep and into a near coma was something that just fascinated me, which now you understand why I'm a preacher. That just happens that way. But Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 gives us some instruction on this very thing. If you are going to be identified as a Christian, then understand what it's going to take. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this offends a lot of people, this idea of working out your own salvation. They get it mixed up with Romans. Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God created in advance or prepared in advance for us to do. There's a difference between working out our salvation with fear and trembling and thinking that somehow we're earning our salvation. You can't earn your salvation. As a matter of fact, if you want to go before God on Judgment Day and say, give me what I earned, look out. Because you can't earn heaven, but you can earn hell. But we still work out our salvation. We do it by study, by reading, by applying it to our lives, and by living it. By once we're clothed with Christ, living as if we are proud to wear the uniform and understanding that we are, in fact, servants. But again, going back to that, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose. We're servants of God. We are servants of Christ. And that requires work. I don't know how you can get around the fact that servant means work. That's the only definition I can find of a servant. But it's a pleasant service, but it requires commitment. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, I think it's explained even a little bit more thoroughly as far as this service that we do before God. Romans 12, 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. In other words, the church we belong to each other. We're trying to help each other. Just like when you run a race, every part of your body participates. Your feet don't take off and leave your hands behind. Your arms move and your lungs pump air into you so that you can get oxygen that will fuel your heart so that your heart will pump and shoot that blood all the way through your body as it's supposed to. Everything works together. There's nothing sadder than a church that is a group of just a bunch of individuals who are severed from one another. Because if we're just a group of individuals who are severed from one another, how can we possibly think that we are connected to Christ? Because it's that connection with Christ, it's that unity with the Spirit that connects us, that binds us together. But we do have different gifts, we're told in verse 6. According to the grace given us, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Now, I think this list that we're about to look at is not talking about miraculous gifts. I think this is just talking about the type of gifts that we can have right now. And so if that's correct, then this prophesying is not talking about a miraculous, well, I can tell you that in 3 days we're going to have an earthquake in Timbuktu, but it's more of a being able to predict things based on just a common sense or a knowledge. You can talk to Mike and he can predict certain things by listening to your engine, or if he hears that you're fueling it partway with sugar, he can tell you what's going to happen to that engine after a while. That's different than a miraculous prophecy. If this is talking about a miraculous gift, then obviously that's not what we're talking about here, and so that doesn't have any bearing on us. But I believe he's using the physical gifts that we have today, and so I think that's what he's talking about. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The idea is that as Christians, we try and figure out what role we can best play. And sometimes it's kind of hit and miss, isn't it? You kind of try it out. I, for example, have learned years ago that I'll never be a song leader. Dave does a great job. Matter of fact, I enjoyed the song service today about as much as I have in a long time. Not only in the way that he leads, but in his ability to pick out songs that are just very appropriate for the worship. But we all have different things, and you try it out. Am I good at this? Sometimes the first time you do something won't work out as well, but you may have an interest in it. Keep going. Work at it. First time I picked up a baseball, I wasn't very good at it, but I love baseball. You couldn't keep me away from baseball growing up. It was just a passion I had. Even after Carolyn and I got married, I'd get in softball leagues. Why? Because they didn't have baseball leagues for adults. They'd kill each other if they did that. And so I got in softball. It's something I really enjoyed. But I got better as time went along. That's okay in a physical area, but in spiritual pursuits, we need to be pursuing something. Whatever it is, there needs to be a growth because we're servants. In the old days, when a house, a huge, not the old days now, but a big, the modern days as well, somebody has a big house, they have servants that do different things. They may have a lawn person, they may have a cook, they may have a butler, they may have maids. Each one of them knows what their duty is. Do we know what our duty is? Or do we just kind of float along? The point of all this is that if our identity is in fact going to be as being a servant of Christ, isn't it incumbent upon us to make sure that we have some idea of what that service should be and that we're working towards that? It may be several different areas that we're good at or that we're effective at, but we need to be doing something because Christ is worthy of that. As a matter of fact, that's the passage that we want to close with, is this idea that we need to do our best. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul's writing from prison here. He says, Ephesians 4 verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. We're Christians. Are we living as Christians? Are we living a life that is worthy of this incredible calling that God has blessed us with? And if not, what will we do about it? want to offer the invitation this evening. If you have any need to respond to the gospel's call, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.